All right, welcome everybody. So good to see you all here. We've got some regulars, we've got some newbies, we've got some faces from the past coming back to grace us with their presence, and just really, really grateful to have everybody here tonight. Yay! And as you all know, or probably know, I will not be hosting this evening. I'll be doing intro round, and then I'm going to hand the baton over to our very own Tara Folsom, and she's going to be hosting this call and sharing and teaching about the KonMari method and helping us to tidy it up our lives and our homes and helping us to find joy. So super excited about that. And just a little backstory on Tara. I hope this is okay, Tara. We didn't go over this, but so
Go
before we
for
do
it.
introduction, before we do introduction round, I'm going to introduce Tara a little bit here. So she has worked with me. I think we've worked together for about a year and a half, and so, yeah, right around that. And she has come so far. It is absolutely incredible, Tara. Like it never ceases to amaze me, like looking back at everyone's journeys as I work with all of you, and so incredible. And your story is beyond inspiring, Tara. Like the things that you've been able to shift and change and do in your life in a relatively short amount of time is absolutely incredible and inspiring. And I am so proud of you because when we first started working together, there was like an inkling of a seed of a desire to start your own business, but like all of the fears and the walls around, like, but I could never do that, or what would it be, or like, I don't have what it takes, like all the things that we all go through as like, like baby entrepreneurs or thinking about becoming entrepreneurs. And from that stage all the way to tonight, where you're hosting this call and like teaching us about KonMari method and you're booking clients and you've gotten certified and you're off to the races. And I'm just so immensely proud of you. And it's such a gift to all of us to see you model that for us and see what's possible as long as we stick with it and we stay committed. So thanks for volunteering yourself tonight as a role model and a teacher to us.
Thank
Super.
you. That was
Yeah.
wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. So I'll start introduction rounds with you actually, Tara, if you'd like to, just kind of add anything that I didn't leave or put in there. And then for everybody else, let's do name, location, gratitude, and then what is your relationship with tidiness right now? So that could be your physical space in your home, or maybe your office, or your desk, or your mind, related to this theme around the KonMari method. Where's everyone at with their space right now? And we'll do maybe like a 20-30 second share. So name, location, gratitude, and then like how's your environment doing? And we'll do round robin as usual. And then Tara's going to go ahead and lead us in an awesome instructional tonight. So I'll start actually. Sorry, I'm Vaughn. I'm in Yalapa, and I am so, oh my God, I'm so grateful for my mastermind. Like, woo, I had a great mastermind today and a lot of laughter in that, and it was like absolutely so needed. And so I'm feeling grateful for like community and this community as well. Like just so much rich connection happening, and I'm super grateful. Environment wise, things are kind of tidy. My desk is a sticky note hellscape, so hopefully I learned some things tonight about cleaning that up. All right, I'll pass it to you, Tara.
Here we go. Okay, thanks, Fawn. My name is Tara, and I live in Santa Barbara, California. I'm grateful that my first, like, really big client that I've ever had gave me a paycheck today, and I feel like that was such full circle, like Fawn was saying, where I came from and not thinking it was really possible, and then actually getting paid for it today. So it was a big day. Thanks. Oh, sorry. And obviously, I'm a very tidy person. So I have a good relationship with my stuff. Okay.
Thank you for modeling that too. Beautiful. All right, let's go to Jessica. Hi, welcome back.
Hey, thank you. Good to be here. I'm Jessica. I'm in Chicago. I am grateful for exercise. I've been doing a good job with exercising lately, and I'm feeling good about it. So I just want to recognize that. And my space is usually pretty good, but I am going to be moving soon. So I'll have to be purging. And so some good, just thoughts around like reinforcing that or not reinforcing that tendency to like be like, oh, I'll use that later and never see it again and hold on to things and like carry them from place to place will be helpful.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. When do you move? Is it May?
End of May. Yeah.
End of May. Yeah. All right. So this will give you some lead time and some new tools, hopefully, to make that transition.
Yeah.
Cool. Yay. Let's see. Hi, Kim.
Hello, I'm Kim. I am in Youngstown, Ohio, and I am grateful for my friends today. And let's see, my school desk is a mess. So yeah, I could use some help. I have a bad relationship with paper, including mail, getting rid of mail. So help.
Thanks for sharing that. All right. Jasmine, hi.
Hey everyone. I'm Jasmine and in, Layton, New Jersey. I am grateful today, probably for the experience that I just had with the academic team at my school. I just was the substitute for their academic bowl. And although it kept me away from home late, it was cool to see kids engaged in academic competition and wanting to be well-rounded, educated young people. It was just really cool. My relationship with being tidy, I feel like I'm very focused on it, but I find at work, I'm like, everything is labeled and color coded. I'm like that. I have a great relationship at work, but then at home, I find that I've got pockets of organization, but then I make piles all the time. So like my closet is organized and every place is organized, except there's the same things in lots of different places. So Tara's already helped me with my closet. I went KonMari on my closet this past weekend, but I'm hoping to get some pointers for everything needs to have a space, but I think I have too many of the same things in multiple spaces. So it feels organized, but it's actually not, because my husband's like, I really hate that you're always making me piles. So I'm going to try to hopefully sort that out.
Awesome. Thank you. And Heidi, welcome back. Good to have you here again.
Thank you. Well, thanks. Heidi from Alpine, Cleveland, Ohio, a little town called Elyria. And I am grateful for growth, personal growth, and my relationship with, I'm a huge organizer. I am very big on decluttering, and I've done this 333 thing, and I just found out about this whole KonMari thing and watched a few episodes, and I was like, wow, that's crazy. And but yeah, I don't know why clothes keep cropping up into my closet and I keep getting rid of them and then they keep coming back. I don't know where these things come from, but anyways. So yeah, always interested in hearing about new possible ways of organizing and paring down.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. And everybody, let's give Heidi a hug because A, she's relatively new, and B, she just did her core values exercise and she was like, Fawn, what the hell was that? So she survived her core values. She didn't really say that, but you know, you guys all feel it. Awesome. And Emily, hi, welcome back, darling. You were with us on a couple calls in the summer, I think, right?
Yeah, I joined for a couple calls in the summer. My name is Emily, and I'm in Berkeley, California. I just moved actually from Michigan. So, today I'm grateful for connection, especially with you guys and with Fawn and just other people in my life. Just grateful to have connection with other people around me in my space, because being in a new area is a little frightening and intimidating. So that's what I'm grateful for. In terms of stuff, me and my husband met cleaning a yoga studio. We are Con Marie to the max. We love having very minimal things. I mean, we're always on each other's back a little bit, but about keeping spaces organized and clean. And when we moved, we did a massive purge that I was actually a little uncomfortable with, but actually really happy about at the end of the day, because we moved into our new space and just had so much room to breathe. So, yeah.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks for being with us again. And Layla, so good to see you too. Hi. You have this heavenly light coming from behind you. It's amazing. radiating sunbeams.
Thank you, Fawn. My name's Layla. I'm nice to, I think, see all of you again or meet. I'm sorry if I'm missing anybody. I am in San Diego. I'm grateful for hiking. I grew up here, and I really don't know, like, the local hikes. So I've been on my days off. I've been hiking with my husband, which has been really cool. And then my relationship with, tidiness and the KonMari method is pretty, I would consider pretty strong. I got into it a few years ago, and it's really given me so much more, like, room to focus on more things, because I have less stuff, and all of them have, like, are pretty nice, like, are special, or I like them. But where I lack is definitely my paperwork and clutterness on my phone. I have apps I don't use. I have a million pictures. I have screenshots. It's very messy and disorganized. Yeah.
Ooh, thanks for sharing that one. I didn't even think about technology and, like, photos. Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you, Fawn.
Yeah. And Alicia, I see that you're calling in. I'm not sure if you're able to introduce yourself, but we'd love to hear you say hi if you can.
Hello, my name is Alicia. I'm from Williamsburg, Virginia. I'm an international event planner and designer. I am thankful for that it is snowing for the first time in almost a year and some change in Virginia right now. And I was able to get out of work today. Clutter is my friend with being a planner. Everything's in piles. There's a lot of stuff involved.
All right. Thanks for being with us. This is your first call, right, Alicia?
This is my second.
Your second. Okay, cool. Oh, yeah, you called in before. Welcome back. We're happy to have you. Alicia's been kind of peripherally in the tribe for, I think, a year, maybe a little bit over a year. So welcome back, Alicia. And Herky, hi, welcome. You might be in kid mode right now. There you go. Hi.
I think I can talk. Hi, everyone. Herky from Pennsylvania. Gratitude. I just finished a client call, and I feel like I really helped her to get out of her imposter syndrome. It was supposed to be like a 30-minute call, ended up being a 90-minute call. But she has a major interview tomorrow, and I think, like, over and over her to break her tape, we had to do. And I'm really grateful for my neighbors for keeping my boys while, you know, this was happening. And in terms of tidiness, again, like Jasmine said, at work, yes, I'm organized, but at home, no. I am not. I do have clutter, And I'm really like looking forward to creating an office space, a workspace, and inviting warm and yet organized workspace for myself. So I hopefully we can discuss that today or get some tips.
Okay, awesome. Thanks for being here, Hierarchy. And Amy made it. Hi, Amy. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. I'm Amy Hydock. I'm also from Pennsylvania. And I am grateful for just the energy that I've had the past couple of days, just really positive energy. So that's always good. And I'm grateful for that. As far as my, I'm like looking around in my basement, which is like one giant catch-all. So yeah, as far as tidiness, not so much. Organizational skills could probably use some work. I think I mentioned like I kind of, and I don't know if this is how you're supposed to do it with the Kumari, but I did one room, like my bedroom is great now. Like I totally took, you know, I put some effort into that one room and I love it. It's like my sanctuary and I love it. And I keep it nice and neat and I clean it all the time. But as far as the rest of my house, and especially this basement, which is where I always go for these calls, which is where my sewing machine is, which is where my like craft table is, which is where an entertainment center is. It is just like, it's a mess. So I would love some tips on, you know, ways to organize without having to spend a ton of money, I guess, just tips and tricks on that type of thing. Or and like how to organize one big giant room, not necessarily just like drawers or something like that. So I don't know.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing that. Welcome.
Thank you.
And I'm happy to hear that you have that space for all those things. I'm excited for Tara to help all of us kind of figure out like, what do we do with all of these things? All right. I believe that was everyone. So I'm going to go ahead and hand the baton over to you, Tara. And I'm going to be sharing my screen and doing slides, and Tara's going to be talking. So we're going to team it up in that way. And for those of you who are kind of new to Zoom, or even for myself, sometimes don't know features, and Jessica has to be like, Fawn, it's right there. So I'm going to share my screen, but there is a feature, there should be, if it's the new version of Zoom, where like the bar where you see everybody, there's a little icon there where you can see everyone, like it pulls up all of the little squares. So sometimes, and actually this happens a lot, where it's like, oh, I didn't know I could even like see everybody. So feel free to kind of play around with your Zoom app as we do the slides, because it is nice to see each other as we go through these things. Or if yours doesn't have that update, you can kind of toggle back and forth between everyone's faces if you want. Cool. All right, Tara, I'm going to officially hand it over to you.
Great. All right. So thank you, Fawn. You guys will all have to maybe excuse me. I never have made it to Thursday night because I have a 4 and a 7-year-old and they might come in here at any moment asking for something. But I have Netflix babysitter on, so it should be good. Okay, so welcome to the KonMari method. That's so great that so many of you already have experience with it. It's been popular for a really long time, and yes, there's books and there's a show based off of it, so it's pretty like widely known, which is awesome. Okay, you can go to the next one, Fawn. Thank you. Okay, so in case you don't know, the KonMari method was created by Marie Kondo, and she's just this Japanese gal who had a passion for organizing in Japan. And she would just like go to her friends' houses and ask if she can organize just for the fun of it. And so she started to get really popular doing what she's doing. And at one point she had a waiting list that was like 6 months long. And someone was like, I can't wait for you for 6 months. You need to just write a book. And so she's like, okay, I will do that. And so that's how the world knows about her now. So it's the whole home organizational method. And the process is known as a tidy festival because it's like, it is an event and it's supposed to be fun. So there's a fun name attached to it. It emphasizes keeping only items that spark joy. And this is a practice in coming from a place of joy and lack, as opposed to fear and lack, which I'll get joy and love, sorry, as opposed to fear and lack, which I'll get more into a little bit later, but it's more like, it's about like keeping things because we love them, not because we're scared that like someday we might need them or like this, you know, it costs a lot of money. And what if I give these sheets away and my aunt and uncle come next year and I need to use it? Like that's a fear and a lack mentality. And that's not why we want to keep things. Okay. And then the last point about KonMari is that we organize by category, not location. So even Amy, it's wonderful that you did your bedroom. And the first category is clothes. So it makes sense to start in your bedroom, but okay. You can go ahead, Fawn, to the next one. Okay, so she has this quote, keep only those things that speak to your heart, then take the plunge and discard the rest. By doing this, you can reset your life and embark on a new lifestyle. And I love this quote because she says the word plunge, and it really is like, sometimes you just have to like dive off and do it. I think it was Emily said something about how she was moving and it seemed like a lot and it was kind of scary, but then when she got into her new space, it like felt wonderful. And that's kind of like what it should feel like just walking into a wonderful space. Okay, you can go ahead, Fawn. Okay, so the very first thing that you do or that I do when I'm working with clients is we identify these key things, what their challenges are and what their vision is. So are your challenges, it's messy, cluttered, you can't close your drawers, they're stuffed. Are your hallways just full of stuff and it's distracting you from your life goals? Kids always losing things. These are like very common challenges that I think a lot of people have experienced. And so that brings us to, okay, so those are your challenges. What is your goal? What is your vision? And this is actually the most important question. This is something that you're going to take with you through your entire Tidy Festival journey because it's very easy to lose track. It's super easy to lose sight because you're essentially making hundreds and thousands of yes, no decisions through this journey. And it's fatigue and you second guess yourself. And if you don't have someone there, like an advocate to keep you on track, this vision and this goal is your roadmap. So an example of a vision that I've often heard is I want to walk through my home and have everything feel clear and light. I want to get rid of clutter so that I can focus and be propelled to my goals. That's a really common vision, which is a great vision. Okay. I kind of already went over this. Why is your vision so important? To your roadmap, you'll be making hundreds, yes, thousands of yes, no decisions. And it does lead to fatigue. I mean, it's, you're burning calories, you're using your brain, and it's a lot of work. And the sessions that I do, I typically do 3 to 5, sometimes 6 hour sessions. And so it's a lot of work. Yeah, go ahead. Okay. So that brings us to the categories. Clothes is number one. It's the first one because it's the easiest for all of us to do. Clothes we like wear on our body. We have a close relationship with them. We confront them every day. And so that's the first one. And the purpose of the categories is to go, it just gets progressively harder as we go down the list.
You need to get the pizza.
I just need to make sure my daughter gives them the correct change and doesn't get lost. Really good. 7. Okay.
Kara gets the badass of the evening award for sure.
Thank you. Okay. Good job, Lottie. Okay. Sorry. All right. Okay. Dinner is served. Okay. Okay, so after clothes, books, paper, kimono, which is essentially everything else in your house, office and stationery supplies, electronics, CDs, DVDs, everything in your kitchen, everything in your bathroom, all your linens. And then it ends with the sentimental category, which is, of course, the hardest category. This is like photos, journals, old love letters, your parents' things they handed down to you. I mean, this can be a big category too, but it's anything that that has more emotional attachment to it than anything else will fall into the sentimental category. So oftentimes, if I'm in the first category with a client and we come across like a shirt or a dress that she wore to prom, and we kind of talk about it, and I say like, do we need to move this to the sentimental category? Do you need some more time to think about this so that we can continue on our journey and keep making good progress? And oftentimes we will move things down to sentimental, because another thing that's happening here as we go through the categories is that we're strengthening the decision-making muscle, and we're strengthening the ability to identify joy in our bodies. And sometimes we really need that strong decision-making ability and that strong intuitiveness in our body to make those harder sentimental decisions. Thank you. Okay. I'm ready for the next slide. Okay. How to proceed. So obviously within each category, you take every single item in that category or subcategory and put it all together. And I mean, you have to look everywhere, every drawer, closet, cabinet. You never know where things are hiding. I just did my mom's house a couple months ago, and she's lived in her house for 25 or 30 years. And she had, for her book categories, there was books everywhere. She probably had 500 books. And then this is I tell my clients, if you don't put it in this category, or if you don't bring it to me now, it's gone. If I find it when we're going through your house at another time, it's getting donated, because obviously you didn't know about it and you didn't care about it enough to put it here. And this is because I want you to really think about where your things are, because this is your journey and it's important. And so let's just do it all now. Okay. And then the reason to bring it all together is to get full impact. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Okay. Spark joy, not fear. So it's Cohen Mari's popular term, spark joy. You want to surround yourself with items that spark joy. That's the whole purpose of this. This is what makes what I do, or what Marie Kondo, what she does, different than just an organizer. Organizers are great, but I think with this method, it's really checking in. How does everything make you feel? So this is also where I like to have my clients get familiar with what their benchmark item is. And benchmark is basically a measuring tool. And it's if they're going through their clothes and they're I don't know, this is okay. But then they pick up this one item and it's a sparkly shirt and they're yes, I love this. And it was no thought, so easy. Didn't even have to think about it. Then I pointed out, I'm okay, that was the reaction we're looking for. And this is your benchmark item. Okay. And then, we all have items that don't feel that great. I have this top. It's not that great. But what if I ever need it for a certain outfit? I hate these sheets, but what if I need them someday? No. This is the mentality of lack or fear that you might need it. But that doesn't, holding on to these things that you might someday need, yes, that might happen. There might be one time in the next 1 to 3 or 5 years where you wish that you had that, or you do actually use it, but the chances of you actually using these things are very, very slim. And we don't want to fill the house up with maybes or shoulds. We only want to fill it with joy. So we want to get in the habit of keeping only the items that bring us joy. Then we are surrounded by joy. I'm just repeating myself here. We are not surrounded by shoulds, ought tos, and other fear lack items. Okay, go ahead, Fawn. Okay, keeping or discarding. So pick up one item at a time, and everything has to get touched, picked up, felt, because you have to really register how it feels in your body. See if it sparks joy, if you're ready to discard the item. If keeping with joy, great, set it aside. Excuse me. If discarding, thank it for its service or what it has done for you and move on. Thank you, shirt, for teaching me that I cannot wear purple. Thank you, shoes, for teaching me that I really like you, but no, I cannot fit into a size 7. And so that is my lesson. If you treat every item with respect, set things down nicely, thank them, and show gratitude. This is also another practice that we're developing. We're getting in the habit of like not only showing people and our self-respect, but like showing everything around us respect and gratitude. And then things that you do keep right now. So the Tidy Festival, it ends with the organization, but throughout the entire thing, it's just joy checking everything. So don't worry about storing everything perfectly until the very, very end, because oftentimes after you go through and declutter, your home kind of like, it kind of lets you know where things want to live, like the perfect spaces will open up. And to kind of answer Amy's question a little bit about how to do like inexpensive organization, just finding boxes in your house, shoe boxes, iPhone boxes are really awesome for storage containers. I've used like, do you guys know like what Yogi Tea is? There's just, you can use tea boxes, just cut the lids off. Just all you need is like a container that can fit in a drawer and can hold things. And it doesn't have to be like an expensive like acrylic box from the Container Store. It could just be any kind of box. Anyway, and then after you are very in tune with what brings you joy, then you can pick out the organizational items if you choose that also bring you joy. Okay, you can go ahead, Fawn. Okay, success in your Tidy Festival. Okay, so a lot of people can get overwhelmed because, like I said, it's a lot of decisions. But to avoid overwhelm, just stick to the categories. It's set up for success. Be kind to yourself. Don't worry if items aren't screaming a clear yes or no to you. If you're unsure, keep your item with confidence, because many times if you keep something you're unsure of, you'll just be in your closet after your mind has settled and like your new surroundings have sort of integrated, and you'll just suddenly be like, wait, I actually don't need that, or I actually don't want that. Like, what was I thinking? And so it's pretty common to like go in and just organically do like a second sweep. And then remember your ideal vision for your home and your life. And this is where you can really help yourself if you start to get overwhelmed too, like recalling, maybe you need to take a deep breath, step away, have a drink of water, and remember why you're doing this process. Like if you're stuck in this pile of like candle making or something, like a craft that you did 5 or 6 years ago, and then you're like, oh, but I really like this. And what if I want to do this again someday? And, but what about Christmas? I can make gifts. I can make like 48 candles for gifts. But you can stop yourself and say, but wait, is this in line with my vision of where I want to be in my life? I actually want to be this photographer, and I want to make $200,000 a year, and I want to book clients, and I want to have this home that makes me so happy to walk through. And does making candles fit into my future vision? And so just answering these steps and walking yourself through your vision and comparing it to what you're looking at, it could really answer a lot of questions for you. Okay, I think I'm ready for the next one. Okay, so clothes can be a very big category, so you can break it down into some subcategories. Start with tops, or the easiest, then pants, athletic wear, all the under things. Hats and bags also fit into this category. So if you have a lot, give yourself a break and break it down into the subcategories. And then also at the end, or as you're putting your clothes away that you decide to keep, learn to do the vertical fold. This method of folding makes it so that everything in your drawer is super visible. You can see everything you have, and then it's really easy to identify, like, this is my daughter's drawer. Oh, that shirt doesn't fit her anymore, or she hasn't worn that for like a month, so I can get rid of that. Okay, I think on the next slide I have some like visuals. Okay, so to do vertical folds, the point or the goal is to make everything into a rectangle. So, I mean, you can kind of see the the diagrams there, but really, if you can just like get your clothes into a square and make it stand up, I guess this is a good place where like interactive would have been fun, good fun, but yeah, if you can do it like this, and there's a ton of videos on YouTube and like Facebook all the time, and there's always a million people talking about how to do the vertical fold. So lots of info out there for sure. And this is also a great way to pack when you're going on trips. Pack your suitcase like this too. Okay. Okay. And then, so this is, I put this one in there because Herky had mentioned some office paperwork questions before, but in the office or your home office, this is also another opportunity for you to ask, like, know your why. What is your vision? Where are you going with your office? And you want to treat it sort of like every other category. Take everything off. Everything gets taken off your desk. Empty your drawers. Toss out loose papers. Even your to-do lists are mental clutter. Having a giant to-do list is like having, it's mental tax, and it costs a lot. And so the more like needless things you can get off your to-do list, the better. And then everything you keep needs a home. So investing in, like, if it's papers, getting some good, like a good filing system going. I don't want to go too much into filing because really Code Mari talks a lot about, and we practice not keeping a lot of papers. Scanning is really great. Keeping your computer more organized and having important paperwork on your computer. But also I think that people, I know I used to, especially before I went through this process, people can keep a lot of papers that they really don't need. Unless it's like important vital records like social security cards and birth certificates. But, you know, so there's really should be like three paper piles, like an immediately pending, like I need to pay this credit card bill. I need a RSVP to this party. I need to call and like schedule my oil change. And those are like immediately pending. Those can go in their own pile. And then another category is things that aren't kept forever, but for some amount of time, like warranties, insurance policies, something that's like important, but you're not going to access that often. And then the third part would be papers that you are going to keep indefinitely, like your social security cards and birth certificates, things like that. And then also with the papers, just to backtrack a little bit, if you do, like, when I'm working with clients and we're going through their paperwork and they're like, oh, I need to do this, I'm like, great, let's stop everything. That's going to take like 2 minutes. Let's do it right now. And just like, if you can get into the practice of holding your own space, like, I have to do this. This will take me 2 to 5 minutes. I'm just going to like do it now so it doesn't get put aside and it's not put on my to-do list that is going to take more of my mental tax. And so like, even when you open your mail, just take your mail immediately to where like your kitchen or your desk or your table, open your mail, put things in the recycle, take everything out of envelopes and lay all your papers flat and really see, like, what pile does this go in? Can I take care of this right now? And if you can, great. If it's really something that needs to be taken care of later, that can go in your pending pile. Okay. Okay, tough decisions. Okay, some items are hard to get rid of for various reasons. A lot of things have value, and we have been trained to not feel things away or throw things away and feel guilty about the loss of the cost, the loss of the value in them. Like, this money costs, or this item costs money. It was a gift. It still has value. It's perfectly good. Nothing's wrong with it. I hear that a lot. Like, it's perfectly good. Nothing's wrong with it. I shouldn't get rid of it. And that is also, like, that mindset is just reinforcing, surrounding yourself with, like, shoulds or ought tos. Like, I should keep this. But that's not staying in line with, does it spark joy? Does it feel good in my body to hold this? Do I see this item in my future vision for myself? And so to kind of, like, help you get around these tough decisions, again, going back to that, thanking the item for teaching you that maybe you shouldn't buy those things anymore. If it was a gift, my favorite thing is knowing that a gift is meant to be given and received. And after it has done that, it has completed its job and you are free to do with it as you please, even if that means getting rid of it. And when we give gratitude and recognize lessons in items and whatever lesson an item has taught us, that is where we get the greatest value. Because, I mean, we exchange the lesson for monetary value, but by learning the lesson, this is how we keep ourselves from repeating the same mistakes and, like, doing a huge purge and getting rid of so many clothes, but then finding ourselves with, like, tons of clothes again 6 months later. Because we need these lessons. We need to learn, like, I cannot buy this because I'll never wear it. I shouldn't buy this because it doesn't look good on me. I shouldn't buy this, whatever the reason is. But, I mean, this, the Tidy Festival is teaching us so many things about ourselves. But another thing that it's doing is it's setting us up for our future and making sure that we make intelligent decisions from every purchase from here on out. And so, like, if it hurts that something costs a lot and it's, like, kind of painful to throw it away, like, that is a good thing to remember when we're going to the store and buying things. Like, this costs money. If I end up, like, getting rid of this, is that going to be really hard? Or will I actually love this forever and be really happy that I have it? Okay, go ahead. Okay, getting family on board. So this is a very personal process. When I work with clients, it's one-on-one. I don't do, like, husband and wife. I don't get kids involved. It's all about me and the client. But what happens is that when one person is doing it, it sets the example for everyone around. Like, today when I was working with my client, every time I go to my client's house, I, like, work with her, and then her husband just stays so close, and he's, like, working on his own things right next to us. He just follows us around the house, whatever we're doing. Like, he works on his own things. And so, but it's, like, it is, what's the word? It's contagious. Like, if you start doing this and tidying and, like, feeling good and putting out good energy, then, like, I think it'd be really hard for people around you to not partake or to not get on board. So yeah, after you set the example by working on what you can control, and if people don't get on board, then, I mean, of course you can always have honest conversations with them, but this, it really is such a personal journey. So we can't really, like, force people around us to do what we're doing. Just set a good example. Okay. All right. Why this process is so awesome and how it'll change your life. So, like I said earlier, you build a muscle that teaches you to surround yourself with joy. And when you're joy checking your socks and your shoes and your clothes, and you're doing this for hours and hours and for thousands of decisions, it starts to radiate out into your life. Like, I think that people start to notice relationships that don't feel joyful to them, situations, you know, events, thought patterns. It goes everywhere. You learn to care and respect for every item you keep or discard, and you learn that everything gets respected, and that will carry into how you care for yourself also. And this is an investment in yourself and gives you the opportunity to get crystal clear on your goals and your intentions, because that is the very first thing that you need to do before you start this journey, is to get crystal clear on your goals and your intentions, because you need that roadmap to keep you in check through this whole journey. And then also, your home is actually like a 3D vision board. And if you align your environment with what you want your goals to be and how you want to feel, it sets you up for success. And that's all. That's my last slide.
Yay. Awesome. Is it okay if we open up to Q&A?
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. How about Tara and I didn't get a lot of rehearsal time before the call, so you guys get to sit in on this for a second. Do you want to do a Q&A round and then hold space for like 15 minutes at the end for takeaways? Does that sound like a good plan, Tara?
Yeah, that's fine. That's great.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Who's got questions for Tara? Raise your hand, and then Tara, I'll just let you, woo, look at that. Tara, I'll let you.
Okay. I only saw Emma or Amy raise her hand. So after Amy, you'll have to tell me. I guess I can. Okay. I don't know how to see everyone at the same time. Sorry. Okay, go ahead, Amy.
Yeah, there were a bunch of us that raised our hands. So.
Oh, really? Oh, thank you.
One second, Tara. Uh-huh. What's the view on your screen? Do you just see one person at a time?
I see me, Amy, Perky, Emily, and two iPhones.
You're not seeing the screen share anymore, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
You might just need to click gallery view is the one that gets everybody.
Oh, okay. There you go. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Okay.
I swear by like 2025 we're gonna know how to work Zoom, ladies. All of us are gonna be masked. Okay, all right, go ahead, Tara and Amy.
Okay, so that was all amazing. I'm like super excited to go up to my bedroom and actually do my drawers and my clothes, because I did not do that. But my question is, I know you said that you do like one-on-one, but mm-hmm. what if you're with a client that has like that has younger kids and she wants to do, you know, her kids' stuff as well. So when you do clothes, do you bring just one client's clothes at a time, like one person's clothes at a time, or would you put like the mom's clothes all in a pile with all the kids' clothes as well? Like, how do you separate that out, or do you do it all at once? Just all clothes in the whole house?
That is a really good question. And no, I definitely have the mom do her own clothes first by herself, because I want her to be really practiced in decision-making and joy checking. And even though it's someone else's items, I mean, this is her journey. This is your journey. And so it starts with you. And so fine tuning your practice first before you work on other people's items is important. I just helped a mother do her 4 and 7-year-old clothes, but we did like 4 sessions of just her first. And then when we got to her kids' clothes, we just flew through it. It was very fast. Okay. So yeah, I think that it could get really overwhelming too, if you do a lot of people's clothes all at the same time.
That's what I was thinking. I just wasn't sure how it was handled. If there were like, you know, 5 people in the family, and they all want to do, you know, they all want to declutter.
Yeah. Also, there's definitely, I mean, if it's just like you doing it at home, I think that that could be a really fun, like, family homework experience. Like, let's everybody we're all gonna do our clothes, like, you put your clothes in that pile, and little Johnny, you put your clothes in that pile, and, like, we'll do it together, and this is also really awesome for kids, too, because getting in touch with, like, how our body feels is a very important practice for kids to learn and to stay in touch with, and if you're, like, modeling that good behavior for them.
Yeah, my teenage girls definitely need it, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Be a fun family.
Yeah. So do you ever think you could do this? Like, does it have to be one-on-one, like face-to-face, or do you think you could ever take this online?
Well, Jasmine and I just had a couple phone calls over FaceTime this last weekend, which I think it is possible to do it over the phone. I just had to, like, kind of get in touch with the kind of decision maker she was before I could really assist. But yeah, totally.
That's awesome.
I'm going to speak to it just because she probably won't toot her own horn. She has, like, an intuition about her that when I was, so I was telling Fawn, I listened to the book, and literally that night I came home and just dumped every single piece of clothing that I owned in all my drawers in my entire house, in my entire closet. I'm a hanger. I have, like, a giant long rod in my closet. The entire thing had, like, all my clothes hung. And then I did that, and I was like, progress, pulling everything down. I had my kids help me. And then I went, oh my God. I have to go to work on Monday. What the fuck am I thinking? And it was like the picking the first couple things were really easy, but then I called her multiple times, and her intuition, even on the phone, like, the questions in the way that she led me, she asked me to see things. She probably didn't even really care what they looked like. She was just, like, making me show her so that I could then describe them.
Right.
And then the way that I described them was, like, a verbalization. And I naturally started to, like, ramble about my feelings instead of just being like, it's a green shirt made out of spandex and cotton. Like, I wasn't just reading the tag. I was like, well, but so last summer at, like, 3:30 in the afternoon, Joel came over and surprised, you know what I mean? It was like a tangent on a fucking shirt. So it led me to be like, am I just keeping it because Joel got it for me? And when was last time I wore it? And how does it make me feel? And, like, I don't know. I don't think that you need to be face to face. I think that you can do a lot without her touching anything that I'm touching, because she's really just there to guide me through the process, which you did very well, Tara.
Thank you.
And I called her in Target. I called her, like, three more times that night. You haven't seen the final product because I'm not done, but yeah, Amy, I would say reach out, because she's amazing and very helpful, and you will need it, because it is
overwhelming. Yeah, I was going to say, I do need it.
I just did one thing. I just did my clothes, and, like, I'm on break right now because I can't, like, imagine the next category when, like, my kids and husband are around. So you'll, like, need support. Yeah, you'll need support. Advocate. You definitely will. Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I will be calling you, Tara. Please, thank you. Do. Thanks, Jasmine.
Yeah, thank you, Jasmine. Okay, did anyone else have a question? Okay, Kim, and then Heidi. Okay, hi, Kim.
Okay, so paper. So I saw that you were saying that you can scan it, and that's a great idea. So that's on my list to get. But I think for me, I get so backed up, especially with mail and with ads and everything, and I just throw it. But some things, like, that I could scan, but then once I scan it, I have to shred it. And I am so slow with shredding. So how much do you trust the places that you can just take your papers that are kind of, you know, the things that you should shred, but they offer free shredding? Like, how trustworthy are those places?
You know, that's a good question, and I will do my homework and find out more about that. Okay. I have never used the, are you talking about like the professional shredding places or?
Yeah, like Office Depot has it, you know, Staples and places like that. So I was just, I think if I could throw it in a bag and take it, I would get rid of it a lot quicker than waiting, putting it aside to wait till I have time to shred it, you know.
So, do you, you have your own personal shredder, but it just takes forever or?
Oh, I have one and it is backed up. So,
yeah.
And at one time I got it all shredded and I, you know, but then I moved. And so then everything got thrown, you know, so then I'm backed up again. So,
yeah.
I'm just trying to find a quicker way to get organized because I think I will be so overwhelmed and I won't always sit down to shred, you know.
Yeah. It almost seems like it has to be like an event, like a movie night or a glass of wine kind of shredding event. Or no, I wonder if like...
wine and shredding. I'm doing it! No.
It is, I mean, it is something that's necessary. You do have to do it, especially if that's the safest way for you to get rid of your important paperwork. I wonder if you can look on like Yelp or even just Google, like, is it safe to get paper shredded at Office Depot and see what people have to say?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Heidi.
Okay, number one, Kim, have a big bonfire out back and just throw that stuff on there, man. And you can have any wine of choice or a beverage of choice and then just burn it all and be done with it. Do you can even dig a hole and
I did that when I lived at my own house. Now I am part of a I'll get put out, Heidi, but thank you.
Okay, sorry. I detract. Let's go to...
That's okay.
All right. Tara, thank you so much for sharing your business. That is cool. What blew my mind, I'd have to say, is the folding and the t-shirts. I can't tell you, like, I was digging through. It's like, oh my God, I haven't seen that t-shirt. I was wondering where that thing went to. So I'm definitely that, I'm going to do that at some point here in the near future. The one question I have is about kitchens. I have a kitchen that is not too, I don't have a lot of space. It's not like a galley kitchen. It's a little bit bigger, but it's not like one of those big giant luxury kitchens either. So I'd say it's probably kind of in the middle. But my fiance's parents sold their house and somehow we got most or some of their stuff, and then I moved in and that all came with me, and then plus her stuff, and then I'm just like, I open up and there's dishes everywhere and there, it is overwhelming, but it's like stuff that we use all the time, like you know, especially with kids, it's like, you know, you need 90 plates because you're gonna find 90 plates in the sink, and then there's gonna be some rando plate that came from somewhere, and it's like, how do you, like, there's only four of us here most of the time, and then the kids half the time. So I'm just like, I just want four plates. But how do you justify that? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say. And then I've got like an overabundance of forks and spoons and knives. And I've got like about 9,000 sharp knives. I mean, it's, and I can't get rid of them because they're really nice knives. So it's just like, how do you do that?
You can get rid of them. It's okay. You are allowed to. I'm giving you permission right now. You are allowed to get rid of things even if they are nice. And it's okay to only have four plates. I mean, I have two kids too, and I have six plates. And so if they're six plates are in the sink and that's all there is, then we have to wash them. And it's like, it's the same thing with clothes. It's the more that we have, the more we have to use, and then the more we have to clean up.
I hate that.
Yeah, and I know. And so KonMari is not minimalism. Like, this is not like, we do not need these things. It's like, let's surround ourselves with things that really spark joy. But there's also joy found in our systems and in our process and our daily life. And if our items are getting to the point where they're hindering easily managing things like feeding, getting dressed, doing dishes, then that is certainly something that can be looked at and pared down. I think it'd be really super fun to do your kitchen and pull everything out and joy check each item, subcategory it. You can start with your dishes and then do your cups and then do your silverware and then do your baking utensils or your cooking utensils and just really break it up and make it easy so you don't have to explode your kitchen. But I mean, I think it's really common to get hand-me-downs from family members and to bring things in. Yeah. And I think that you'll find that you actually, like, you don't end up missing a lot of things that you get rid of.
Yeah, that sounds like, I didn't even think about that. I think you're right. But maybe if I just take one cabinet at a time and go that route.
Nope. This is not location. This is category.
Okay. Category is the kitchen. So pull it all out. Oh, dear Lord. No.
Subcategories. Yeah. So plates. Do your plates. Do your bowls.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So like cups. Pull out all cups and say, need this. Yeah. Oh, okay. Okay. I think I can get behind that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yes. Thank you very much. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Yes.
Okay. I see that Layla, you had your hand up in the chat and now it's up again. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry. I didn't mean to raise my hand a bunch. I'm getting used to Zoom too. So thank you. My question is, how do you, I have an idea on how to organize my photos in my phone, my photos in my computer, which are thousands of them. Mm-hmm. And thousands and thousands of unread emails. Okay. But so many other things in my life, I'm organized, like my physical stuff, but the digital, I never really got around to. So with the photos, for example, like there's a lot of sentimental pictures in there and like stuff where I like took 20 pictures of one thing but I love that memory so much. So my thing is, I'm guessing when I go through the photos, I like treat it the same way as my clothes does the spark joy. And for anything that's very sentimental, I just save it for like the end and come back to it. That's my first question. So is that a good method? And then how do I get rid of all my emails? I mean, should I just start over and just get a new email account? Like I have so many unread emails. It's insane, the idea of going through all of them.
Okay. So it sounds like you definitely have some digital maintenance to do. With the photos, I think all of us know exactly what you mean, like 20 of basically the same picture. And it really, I mean, it's the same as if you're holding those physical pictures. You have to go through them one at a time. I just did this too. Like my photos were kind of the last thing that I've done. And so just in the last like 3 months, I've probably deleted like 10,000 photos off my computer and phone because I have kids and everything is adorable. And so I take them as a picture. So yes, it is a process and it takes for freaking ever, but it's very important to do. And so going through those photos, yes, obviously taking out the ones that like clearly don't spark joy or like don't mean anything. But if you come to like a batch where it's like, they're all very similar and I like them all and I just can't decide, this is where you like get to hone in and say, okay, what one do I like the very best? Okay, this one. What one do I like the best after that one? Okay, that one. And then you can safely say, I got my favorites out of that. I'll let go of the rest. In that like sequence of 20 or whatever. And you just have to keep doing that over and over. Cause it is, even though it's like digital and on your computer, you still have to treat it like a physical photo that you're looking at. Like keep go, keep go, keep go, you know? So, mm-hmm. And then for emails, I mean, I would say just buckle down and do it. Go through each one, get used to, get in the habit, like maybe every day you unsubscribe to 4, unsubscribe to 5, like every weekend, unsubscribe to 10, or like every Monday, do 6, but come up with a plan of action where it's, you don't have to do everything at once, but you just kind of like get in the habit, or like for every new email from here on out, the minute you see it, just go and unsubscribe, and you'll get in the habit of maintaining it, and you will get through your email list. I promise, but it will take a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to, I mean, and this is also like, this is an extension of making sure that you set yourself up to not repeat these habits in the future. And so like, don't just go get a new email list just from here on out. Like, just be very thoughtful about like what you sign up for. And then if you get something, you don't like it, just immediately unsubscribe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. That's really, really helpful. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. That's like the one area where I just felt really, really overwhelmed. So I appreciate that.
Yeah. And you can do it. You'll hold space for yourself and tell me all about it. I want to hear how it goes.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, okay, definitely. Good. Okay. Yeah, will do. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Jasmine.
I just had something to help you, Aliana. The unsubscribe thing really works. So once you pare your email down, then you only have like one email that comes in, you can unsubscribe right then and there. You just click on the bottom of the email and that takes care of it. Mm-hmm. But something that's worked for the photos, because I had the same problem, I have a reminder on my phone for the end of each month. Mm-hmm. And me and my husband, once a month, we go through our pictures just from that month. And we delete, we favorite, and then we create, he airdrops to me and we create a shared album just for that month. So it will say like January 2020 favorites. And then at the end of the year, and it's photos and videos, but we only have to do it once a month. And then at the end of the year, we have our favorites from every month, and we can make a book or a like a montage, like a compilation.
Oh, I love that. So
it's like a date. It's like we do it like over like a drink, and like it's just like a date together, and we like go through the pictures from the month, because sometimes he's taking pictures of me and the kids and I never see them, and like vice versa.
That's so cool. That's such a good idea.
And set a reminder, like a repeat reminder on your phone for every month. We do it on the 30th.
Yeah.
Or 28th, because February.
Sorry to interrupt. Yeah. That's like, I'm just making a note of that. I definitely want to do that. And do you, Jasmine, I'm sorry. Do you like, the only photos you keep are favorites, or do you keep stuff?
We only and keep favorites.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Man, the favorites spark the joy.
Uh-huh.
And awesome. Like some of his favorites are literally a picture of an engraving on a gun that I do not have any interest in, but mm-hmm. like he sees it and his heart flutters. Mm-hmm. So like it goes in the album and he's like, remember that time I got to hold that? And I'm like, I'm mm-hmm. so happy you experienced that, you know? Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
But that's bursts so awesome. Are a problem. Yeah. When you take a burst, all I do is take bursts. 115 picture bursts.
Yeah, yeah. Go that's through too it many on choices.
The 30th. That's it. Uh-huh. Go through it on the 30th. You do it just once a month. That's it.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. I love it.
That's a really cool tip, Jasmine.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Jasmine. Appreciate it. Thanks, Fun. Guys.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. I have a question. So let's say we do a really big purge and 70% of our clothes go. So we have 30% of our clothes. But then we have only 30% of our clothes. What is your, and I don't know if this is part of the Cone Marie or not, but what is your advice or support around how to start sourcing new things that spark joy in a clear way where it's not like, oh, like going to get lost in the closet in a week, or, you know, just start accumulating things that don't spark, like So the sourcing of joy sparking things.
Yeah. So this is what I was talking about how this process will radiate out into your life by having those strong decision-making skills and listening to your intuition, but also being so practiced in knowing what brings you joy. That is what you want to bring with you when you go and discover new items to bring into your home or into your closet. And I mean, this is a practice that will set you up to be more intentional when you shop. And also the way that we fold, there's a lot that I didn't cover too. Like everyone has their own organizational journey that I go on with them, like the best way to store their clothes. But really, like, so there's some other key points, like making, like storing all your things so that you can see them all the time and like making them very accessible, not putting like things and boxes on top of boxes on top of boxes so you don't know they're there. Like that's why we do the folding in the drawer so we can see it all. And when you put it in your closet, make sure you can see it all. And maybe like keep lids off baskets and get baskets that you like so that you don't have to have lids and you can see the contents inside. And so by going, when you're going shopping and you're like, you know what joy feels like in your body, then you're only buying things that bring you joy. And then when you bring them home, you have them like respected and displayed in a way that you always see them and know that they're there. That is where I'm going. Did that answer your question?
Yes. Okay. Totally. Thank you. Okay. Yeah. I love that that's little, because I started doing that like 3 years ago. I think when I started traveling, I did a huge purge and like got super intentional. And now I look at my closet and there's not a lot in it, but I'm like, hell yeah. Like that's looking pretty along the lines of what I'm going for here. So yeah.
Awesome. That's awesome. That's what it should be like. It should be like a hell yes closet. And it's not like an overnight thing too. Like it's still, I think that there still needs, could be room for a lot of practice in like in shopping just for the sheer fact of like getting used to picking things that like are really a hell yes for you. And those items might be hard to source and they might not be at like H&M or Nordstrom or Old Navy or wherever you shop. Like, and that in itself of like, okay, so I created this vacuum. I have space for things to land in my house now, but like, where do those things live? And that is a process. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Emily.
Okay. So this question comes kind of like from a slightly different angle, which is I've always been, my mom will tell you, super picky about what I want and what I don't want. I know exactly what I want and I know exactly what I don't want. And so often I get, people will like purchase things for me as gifts and things like this. And I'm not like totally in love with it. And it's very easy for me to like let it go and like give it away. But I feel like sometimes it's like hurtful to, or I feel judgment about it. You know, I feel judgment that I'm like not more receptive to a gift, or I feel like a pressure to keep something for a period of time. I kind of know you like addressed that a little bit, that it's not on me to like, the gift giving was done as like, and it's completed its mission. Mm-hmm. But I guess like, I'm not trying to figure out like what my question is here, more of like, how do you spark the joy of gift receiving? I don't know if I'm getting somewhere.
Are you looking for a guideline of like how to best like respect like the act that was done to you, like the giving that was done to you? Like, how do you hold the space for that respectfully?
That, or like, how do you address with your family? Like, so my family's a big gift giving family, you know, and it just like ends up cluttering my house, and I don't want a cluttered house. And so how do you address like a family who really loves to give gifts, but then a person that's like incredibly picky about what they want?
Yeah. Does your family know?
Have you had clear words
with them?
I mean, I think maybe not clear enough, you know, considering the facts, but they know that I'm picky. I think they're always like looking to please me, you know, and that just feels like I'm not excited enough sometimes, you know, when they give me a gift or something like that. So I've tried to be a little bit more direct about just asking exactly for what I want. Mm-hmm. And in terms of a gift or like sourcing the gift and like spreading some joy around like why I want that particular thing. Maybe it's like sustainable or like from a good reputable brand or whatever, you know, it's not just bought off Amazon, you know. Yeah. But so yeah.
I know what you're saying. My mom and myself, we are like the worst people to get gifts for because I know exactly what I like. And I'm like, it's hard for me to hold things that I just don't want in my home. And my mom is like the absolute worst. She's very brutal about it. She's like, I hope you kept the receipt and like to anybody. So I mean, and my mom does not handle it gracefully. So I don't know like a really good model of, I know what you're saying. I mean, I've stopped buying her things unless she specifically tells me what she wants, or I'll get her like a service, like a massage or whatever, take her to dinner or something that's expendable. But I think that communication is really strong and intention in your communication can be really helpful.
Yeah.
Like if a holiday is coming up, like sending your family love notes, like I love you all. And I know that you love me too. And I just want to let you know that this season, I'd really appreciate like this sort of love or this sort of gift.
Okay.
Because people do want to give you something to show you that they love you and they appreciate you.
Yeah. It just feels like I'm sorry to say this, but it feels like a waste of resources sometimes, you know, where it like, where you're not necessarily communicating what your wants and needs are. But your family or friends still want to like fill that, you know, or like they still want to honor you in some way, you know, as a birthday or whatever. But, you know, for me to get something, not really love it and then just throw it away or donate it or, you know, whatever, it just feels like there's got to be a better way of resources being spent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know your family, so I don't know how they would take that kind of communication, but or you can just say thank you so much and then give it away.
Question.
Well, yeah, okay.
Sorry, we're just for the sake of time, we're in way around zone right now, so I just want to get that started. I'm going to mention something real quick here as my takeaway and then we'll pass the baton. So this is very, very, very along the lines, if not the same thing as the Hell Yes Life. So at the beginning of Life on Purpose, I have most of you, sometimes not all of you, do at least like the Wheel of Life or like how are we doing on each category. And then like some lifestyle gardening. Looks like I'm freezing. Maybe I won't do a takeaway.
Ah. We can still hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Hear you.
So, okay. Yeah. So Hell Yes Life, it's very similar. It's like, is this serving me? Do I feel hell yes about this or not, right? And if not, like your job or the people you're surrounding yourself with or whatever it may be, then if it's not a hell yes, it's a maybe or a hell no. Rich Litvin, one of the coaches I follow, would say if it's not a hell yes, it's a hell no. But I think there is some gray area there. But it just really came through for me tonight, Tara, as you were presenting this and tuning into the philosophy behind it. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is life on purpose. Like, this is hell yes life in a hands-on, like, home organizational way. So the Spark Joy piece, I think, is really, really amazing and important to tune into in, like, our overall life experience, like you were saying. So that tie-in really spoke to me and stood out to me. So, yeah. Cool. I'm going to hand the takeaway baton over to Emily.
One of my takeaways was definitely about the digital. I really, really enjoyed Jasmine's idea about, making a monthly ritual of getting rid of photos. Like, I'm a photographer. Like, I have photos, like, hundreds of files of photos, like, on hard drives dating back to the time I was in high school. So it's a little bit of an overwhelming and, like, daunting thing, because when you're first getting into photography, you're taking a lot of photos just to figure out what looks good and how to determine a good photo from a bad photo. But I think that having that experience, you can look back and, like, do better decision making, as you get better at picking out what's what you want and what you not want. But going through the digital stuff was something that I hadn't really thought about as much, and that's a big takeaway for me.
Jessica, how about you?
Yeah, I've been thinking about how, like, a lot of times it feels so wasteful to get rid of things, because, like, the reality is, like, there's just a lot of waste in the world. And so I feel guilt about contributing to that when I know that something, like, still has value. So, like, thinking about all of the advice that you gave, Tara, and how that applies, I think it was really important to, like, recognize that I'm not actually using these things. They aren't, like, serving a purpose, and to, like, thank them as I remove them, so that it's a bit more of, like, an acknowledgement, and then also, like, utilizing that as a lesson to be more mindful going forward, like, remembering what that felt like to avoid repeating those patterns was really insightful, I think.
Awesome. Yeah, great one. Jasmine.
I loved this, Tara. I'm clearly on this train, so I really appreciate you taking the time tonight to put this together. Before I do my takeaway, Emily, what you just said, I just envisioned you, like, tackling this and conquering, like, your whole timeline. And then I envisioned you having this amazing, like, progress report from, like, when I started as a photographer, and, like, I just, like, envisioned a slideshow of growth of you, like, pulling your favorites from everything that you've done and just, like, being so inspired by yourself for the progress you've made. Like, I just feel like that's what's going to happen for you when you go through these photos. So I'm excited for you. I'm just a talker. Two funny things. Tara, when you're talking about the kids stuff, I was like, okay, my son's going to keep two shirts and they both have tractors on them. And my daughter's going to keep five princess dresses and the cardigan that she wears every day. She comes home, takes off all her clothes, is butt naked in her underwear, and just buttons up a cardigan that's like a belly shirt. That would be what my kids choose right now. So I think they're too young. Like Amy said, like, your kids are probably old enough, but, like, my kids, I would have to do for them. And yeah,
you'd have to do yours for them, for sure.
But I have to be really mindful, like, not just what I like. I'd have to be mindful of, like, what sparks joy for them, which I think would be a really interesting process. So that was my one major takeaway. And then my other one was when, Emily, you were talking, I have the same issue with gifts. I think we probably all do, because we're really strong, like, powerful women, and we know what sparks joy to us. But the hardest thing is the communication. So it's almost like I feel guiltier giving it away and donating it, but I usually do that over having the conversation and sounding like a bitch and just, like, like greedy and selfish and rude at telling somebody exactly what I want when it's supposed to be a gift. And like part of their joy is maybe shopping for me, but I don't know who it matters more for. If it's like, my dad loves to shop for me at Christmas. My dad's 65. I'm not. And I'm a woman. I love him. But like, I'm not sure who that's more important for. So I think the communication is probably more important on my end to like tell him that I love him and I'm thankful for the thing he wants to do for me. But here's what I actually want. And that's hard. So Tara, I'm going to try to take your advice and probably communicate more rather than like cop out and just like give it away to somebody without him knowing. Just tell him I love it and that I wear it all the time. Because I definitely do that right now. So it's just hard. It's hard when the person cares about you and you care about them. So I like that piece of advice.
Thanks, Jess. Layla, take away.
Okay. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed that. I love KonMari method, and I feel like I learned more about it and how I can improve it with everything, not just the digital stuff that I asked about. And one other thing I'd like to add to what everybody's talking about is like accepting gifts, or sometimes I'm at my like aunt and uncle's house and they're like, Layla, you would love this. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't need another purse. Like, you know, but I love them because it's out of love, you know, and the one thing I will easily take in abundance is food. And it's a big part of my culture, but stuff, you know, is really difficult for me as well. And I noticed recently that I've been saying yes because they're showing a kindness to me. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, you know, I'm taking it home. And then I feel kind of like, I feel conflicted. And, you know, so sometimes I'll just really politely say like, auntie, you know, I appreciate this so much, but like, I have so many purses, and if I have more, then it will, you know, it will just be too much for me. And maybe part of that is because I feel comfortable talking to them about it, but it's a really challenging thing. And another thing I'd like to add to that too, which I realized as well as we were talking through this, is that not everyone will get it, but a lot of people you love will understand it the more they get to know you and your values about this stuff. So, like, these things will come up naturally in conversation, and there will be some people that'll listen and be like, oh, you know what? They don't really need any stuff. Or maybe if they want something, I ask specifically for what they want. Or like, sometimes lately people have just been giving me experiences as gifts. Like, I've been getting movie tickets and like, you know, this cool stuff like that. So I think one other thing that goes along with that I just realized that I wanted to share was that second part, where sometimes as people get to know you, they will naturally get you stuff that aligns with you or ask you directly. I've been finding more and more of that in the last couple of years than I have before. Yeah, and that's it. That's my takeaway.
Thanks, Layla.
Thank you, Layla. Thanks. Thank you, Jasmine, too, for your takeaway.
Everything, oh yeah, of course.
Said about me, that's so nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Heidi.
My takeaway is from the whole meeting in general, I think, is just to be open. I didn't really, you know, I didn't have any expectations on what I was going to learn or hear this evening. And in the takeaway, you know, what I learned was huge as far as like how to go about getting, you know, possibly doing something to my kitchen that is like a huge sore point with me. And also like my drawers. So that was cool. Always stay open. That's what I've learned. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you. Thanks for being open. That's great. Amy, how about you?
Hi, Tara. Thank you so much. You totally lit a fire under my ass. So I'm going to get on that pile of clothes soon. It's so funny because I actually did read this book. My friend introduced me to it you know, before I was a part of Life Fun Purpose, and I didn't really get too much out of it, honestly. Like, I just was like, I don't have enough time to do that kind of stuff. Like, I'm just going to do what I've normally been doing. And obviously that doesn't work for me. So hearing it from you and actually like knowing you and knowing that you do it and hearing your words of wisdom and inspiration are totally, that made the difference for me. So I really am looking forward to doing this, and I'll probably have to give you a call like Jasmine had to do. So I don't know if I'll be able to do it on my own, but I'm just going to start with my clothes. And I think my biggest takeaway is just how you mentioned that, you know, it's not expected to be done overnight. It's a process, and to take your time and, you know, to do it right and not have any kind of like time frame expectation on getting it all done. So that's important to me. Although I guess I can't live with like a giant pile of clothes in my room either. So, you know, I guess to ask just one more quick question, I guess it's different for everyone, but like the clothes part of it, how long would that, does that normally take? Like, is that hours? Is that days? Or is it just depend on the person?
Do you want to just walk up to your closet right now and show me what you got?
Are you serious? No. We can do it afterwards.
I would say if you have a feeling that it will take you more than 3 hours to get through your clothes, then I would really strongly suggest doing the subcategories, like just your shirts.
Oh, okay. Okay.
See what that timing is. I mean, also everyone makes decisions at different speeds and everyone gets fatigued at different points. So I think just like setting it up so it's easy for you and just do your tops.
Got it.
All your tops, not your jackets, but just like short sleeve, long sleeve, sweaters, things like that.
And awesome.
See how that goes.
So, yeah. So that's another takeaway, the subcategories. Very yeah. Cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amy.
Hey, and how about you, Kim?
Thank you, Tara. And I thought I came for paper. You opened up a lot of other things too, though. Books are another thing on my list, and emails. So I guess for me, it was the perspective to come from instead of a place of scarcity, a place of joy. So for me, that mindset will help me, I think, not dread it. Instead, I know that I'm doing this for joy. So I really appreciated that.
Mm. Yeah. Thank you, Kim.
Mm. That's a great one. I want to throw one more thing in, and then I'd love to hear your takeaway, Tara, since this is your first call that you're hosting. So interestingly, I hadn't put together like the photos and like KonMari until in this conversation, and I'm so grateful. Literally before this call, for 2 hours, I was going through the photos from the retreat, and I have my photographer like sent all these photos over, and they've just been kind of like sitting in my drive because I'm like, oh my God, I feel so overwhelmed by all that. So I did what I usually do for photo shoots, and this is kind of like the subcategory thing, and it works really well for me where I'm like, okay, I'm going to do photos of like just this part of this day, or just photos from us in this room, or photos of like, I try to create these like categories within the whole batch and then go through and definitely, you know, checking in with like what sparks joy and what doesn't. But that's been really helpful for me with like photos when I do organize my own phone photos, but definitely like photo shoot photos is like parsing them into smaller folders or like themes. So that's all. All right, Tara, what's your takeaway?
Did you want to say something, Emily?
I was just going to say one quick thing with the photos. What I found in doing like a lot of photography work is that when you're doing like an edit down, it takes a few days of a couple of passes. So like your first pass, you like grab everything that feels good. Second pass, you'll know what feels better than other things. And then third pass is usually like the time that you find like the stars and the gems. But that's, you probably already know that, but I was just going to say that's my process.
Thank you. Yeah, that's great. I color code them. I'm like, okay, pass one, pass two, pass three. And if it makes all three, it's in. Thanks for that. Cool. Tara, how was this for you?
It was awesome. I love you guys all so much, and I'm so grateful that you are here to listen to me. I love talking about this work, and I wasn't sure. I know that a lot of you guys are really familiar with it, so I appreciate you staying for the call and bearing with me. And then you guys who had such sweet things to say, Jasmine, really making me feel super good about our call together. Thank you very much. This was a great experience. And thank you, Fawn, for offering to let me do this. I think it's very important. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Yay. Well, thank you so much, Tara. Ladies, let's feel free to continue the conversation in the LFP Facebook group. Because actually, Tara, do you want to give us all an action item?
Yes. Heidi, I already gave you yours. Amy knows hers. Jasmine. I just want to see pictures. What are your challenges right now? Really quick. And like, what's your challenge area in your house? Books?
No, I think, actually it's just more so, like things in multiple places.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I want to try to condense. So I've got like, things are organized, but I've got like the same thing in more than one spot. So I think I need to put everything of one type in one area.
I want to shoot you over the subcategory list for the kimono.
Yeah.
And challenge you to put like with like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Would you be willing to post it in the group, Tara?
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks.
Yeah. Kim, you said books are your, so I challenge you to do your books. And can you put them all in a giant pile and take a picture and then joy check each one and don't get lost in reading them and opening them. Just feel it and trust yourself in, out, and then take an after picture. Jessica, I don't know. What's your challenge?
I definitely have like a bunch of shirts that I would love to parse down. Getting things folded in my drawers would be nice to be able to see everything and actually maintain that. Or my closet overall kind of stores like everything that I have a hard time letting go of. So it's like organized, but there's stuff in there that I'm just like, come on. But I can't get rid of it.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
I challenge you to fold the vertical folds in your.
Okay. All right. Dresser. That'll be fun. Thank you.
Emily, I challenge you to have a conversation with your family. And okay, who am I missing here? Okay, are you on me? Oh, okay, what is your challenge?
Oh, mine?
Yeah.
Photos. The photos? And emails, yeah.
You feel pretty good everywhere else?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You should like take a screenshot before and after you go through your emails. Do you have like the red indicator? Like I have 71,000 emails.
Yes, and that's really close to the number of emails. I'm not even kidding.
Okay. That's your challenge. Before and after photo.
Okay, got it.
And unsubscribing from 25 email lists.
Okay, thank you.
Who hasn't had an acronym yet?
I think just Fawn.
Just me? Okay. Yeah,
what's your challenge, Fawn?
I have two. I'm going to go through all of this madness and make some kind of a symphony out of the cacophony. And I'm also going to go through the retreat photos by in the next week and yeah, get selections from that.
Nice. Are you posting those photos after you go?
I will. Yeah. Once I make sure that everybody that was there is okay with the ones that I select, I will definitely be sharing them. They're amazing. They're hilarious and they're really great.
Oh, cool. Okay. That's your challenge then. Okay. Awesome.
All right.
Okay.
Good job, ladies. All right. Let's keep the conversation going in the group. Thank you so much, Tara. You're amazing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, guys. Good night, everybody. Bye.